World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Amen. Brother Serge, go ahead and open us in prayer this morning.
Okay. Lord, Father God, we come to you in thanks and praise. Lord, we come to you as humble men and women, wanting to know your word, wanting to know the truth of what's going on in our world, Lord. And we just want to thank you and praise you each and every day, each and every second, Lord. And we just ask you to help us to open our ears and open our eyes to the truth. We pray this through the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Dale Socia here. Just call me Brother Dale, whatever. I got a text message last night from Coach and asked if I would go ahead and take the wheel of the show this morning. I like to look at this sometimes as I'm just a better, younger looking version of Coach. So probably line up right with him. You know, birds of a feather flock together. You'll hear a lot of Cuban slang in there. You know, I've known Coach for some years. He knows me. He knows that I'm not going to get on the show. And Larry's actually been at my church one time. We did communion there. I remember that, Larry. You know, I kind of think of myself as a dentist at times. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever had a tooth pulled. But normally when you go to the dentist and he's going to pull a tooth, you go in there and he's real nice to you. And he Novocaines you up and he gets you laughing a little bit. But somewhere along the line, he yanks that tooth out of your mouth and it's like, hey, you know. And so I know it's Open Friday, as I shared with the gentleman early, that, you know, we kind of discuss whatever Coach normally opens it up to, what we want to talk about. Something might have happened in the news that some of us might not be aware of. You know, 2 Timothy, matter of fact, 2 Timothy, Larry, if you have 2 Timothy or if Jared wants to put it up on the screen, 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, I was sitting here last night and we were having dinner and just fellowshipping a little bit. And I'd gotten a text message from Coach and his text message was, look, my internet is. Really big, like I can't do that. I'm not prepared. Blah 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 blah. But Larry's going to read 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2 for you, and this kind of was my response. Go ahead.
I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine.
Amen, brother. So the fact of the matter is, guys, listen, one of the things about Coach is telling us is we need to be prepared. Just like I think it was last Friday, Thursday morning with the show delayed there a little bit or whatever, and we weren't sure, was Jared rolling, was he not rolling, is that we need to be ready in season, out of season, always ready to preach the gospel. And then there's a key thing there. He says to reprove. In other words, reproof is correction. Rebuke is like someone who doesn't receive correction, so you flat out rebuke them. And then exhortation. I believe you know, and so for me, it's not about wanting to share what itch ears might want to hear, but truly what the Spirit has to say. Many of the things Coach has been talking about And he's really been filling it in over the past month, I would say. And that is how much we need the Spirit of God, because we can have a form of godliness, but without the power, forget about even denying, without the power of God, we're nothing. Peter, who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, I mean, he rubbed shoulders with the man. Come the night of his testing, he denied Christ 3 times. And it wasn't until the day of Pentecost that the Spirit fell upon him that Peter then preached the gospel boldly, and he never looked back. On this. And so I just finished doing a series on Gideon and talking about God equips the qualified. Well, he equips them by anointing them. And Gideon, in Judges chapter 6, I believe it's 32. It's not part of anything I want to share, but it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. When King David was confronted, and, you know, and Samuel came into the house and looked at Jesse's sons, and he just went on down the line, and Jesse had all of his kids there, were probably all dressed up and pumped up and, you know, ready to be anointed. And Samuel's like, no, you have any more? And he said, oh yeah, I got one outside. He's playing with the sheep, you know, and he brings in David, and David was the one. And Samuel anointed David. And when David was confronted with the Spirit of the Lord, he said, it was the Lord who delivered the bear. It was the Lord who delivered the lion. I want to tell you something. I take a line from Pastor Bill Shanks, one of my presbytery, talking about the abortion clinic industry that started back in 1973, grew to nearly 2,100 freestanding abortion clinics across America. As of today, there are less than 500 freestanding abortion clinics. And in the news report, we just closed a clinic down here in New Orleans a little over a year ago. And they come up and say, wow, you know, y'all closed the clinic and, you know, wow, what's next? And looked at them and said, close the clinic? I couldn't close a snowball stand. Closing a clinic, that was God. It is God's battle, and God closes these things down, and many of them close down the weight of their own iniquity. So be ready in the season. Be studied and ready to always give an account, because whether it's to do Dave's show or whether you're in line at a grocery store or wherever you're at, that person next to you, if many are going through the wide, broad death path of destruction, chances are many of them need to hear the gospel, and you're rubbing shoulders with them, and God wants to use you to speak to them gospel truth, not gobbledygook. And now you don't want the blab it and grab it and the name it and claim it preachers preaching it, then you preach it. If you know the truth, then you were called to preach it, and you know the world of difference. Amen. So Mark last week, I don't know if he's on here, but Mark, that was a fantastic show on the 5G network and just what's going on and some of the enlightenment of the information that was passed on. That was fantastic. And then, you know, last week with Planned Parenthood now being investigated, you know, they should have been investigated a long time ago. What, I mean, come on. We had Ronald Reagan. We had the Bush. We had the other Bush. We had Gerald Ford. I mean, this stuff should have happened a long time ago. But social media, I mean, was a key vehicle how those videos got exposed. And the mamby-pamby, you know, conservatism of D.C., you know, they're only going to squawk money and votes. They weren't going to do anything about it. It wasn't until somebody got up there and kind of said what the people were feeling, you know. And I give Trump credit for that, you know. He's like, you know. And so now we see that the Planned Parenthood is being investigated. And the very next day, the director, the CEO of Planned Parenthood, who was in control of millions of dollars, Cecilia Richards, down. Guys, listen.
Amen.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Hear when I say this. Donald Trump's motto on his hat was what? Somebody tell me. What was it?
Make America great again, brother.
Make America great again. And we have seen, just like Bill Clinton used that line, it's the economy, stupid. Let me tell you, if it was the economy, what Donald Trump and his administration has done in 1 year to the economy is, it's It's exponential. Nothing has happened ever like that, ever. Inception of the New York Stock Exchange, where this thing has gone from 19,000 to 26,000, and I don't see this end in sight. Is it making America great again? No, it's not. Francis Tahofu was a French philosopher, and America in its heyday, when we were booming our economy, we just went from 0 to 100 on the world scene, and all the nations were looking at us. We become powerful. We had beaten Britain and we not only did we win the war, but our economy was just soaring. We were trading with other nations, and so France was like, we need to figure out what is the key that is making this country so successful at such a rapid pace that it's just, you know, it's just mind blowing. So they send Francis Tahofu over here, and Francis Tahofu traveled through the Northeast, where in Ohio and Pennsylvania, our steel mills were, and a lot of our factory work was going on. And he looked to see if this is what he was going to find, great again. And although that was great that was happening, it was a big production in our economy, he says it was not. So he went down to the halls of Congress, and he thought maybe it's these men, they're passing these laws and the legislation and the things that they're doing. Maybe it is here where I'm going to find that's making this such a great nation. And he went in there, and he rubbed shoulders, and he talked, and he interviewed, and he listened to these people, and he sat in on Congress's sessions to hear. It wasn't there. He says, it was not until I entered the churches of America and I heard the thunderous messages of repentance being preached from the pulpit did I now know America great. But then he made that catchy phrase. He said, America is great because America is good. But if America ever ceases from being good, America will cease from being great. The economy is not what's going to make America great again. It says.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. So when we begin to repent. So jump on in here, guys. I want to hear, does anybody know anything else going on in the news? To me now, let me go back and say this about this Planned Parenthood. To me, that's huge. Do you know why? Because that has God's heart in it.
That's right, brother.
Vince, if we can't get this right, we can't get nothing right. And if we can't figure out that's wrong, go ahead.
Let's think about Weimar Germany, right? So 1933, they were completely destitute after the war reparations, right? And then 2 years later, they were the most prosperous country in the world.
Yeah, right?
And then was it 6 years later, they were on the hook again, and they've been on the hook ever since. So we can't, there's no way we can say economy is going to be the great savior of our nation because it's ridiculous. No, the great savior of our nation is God. And that's where we need to go back to.
And if it's not, Matthew, did we not, I don't proclaim to be any kind of an English major, but that, you know, not only words mean something, but how a sentence is structured. Chapter 7, they say, Matthew 7:24, I believe it says, does it not say that we cast it out devils? Did we not do, did we not do these things in your name? That is called a past tense. In other words, you did those things, but Jesus replied to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you.
That's right.
So that's watch that. This is a present tense. In other words, you might have done that. It's not, Paul said this, it's not about starting the race. It's about what? Blessed is he who endures to the end, for he shall receive the crown of salvation. You've got to cross the finish line. They might have done these things, but you know what? Jesus is talking about you took the things, and Paul addressed that. He said some of them used the gospel, for ill gain. He said, don't have nothing to do with them. But I want to tell you something. Some people enter this with a good heart, but they finish, right? Because they become just like a Judas. Judas started with Jesus, but guess what? Satan tempted his heart. So, men, keep your heart right with that. Amen? Anybody want to chime in?
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah, you know, the other day, Coach took us to John 14:6, where it says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that word way there, if you go back to Matthew chapter 7, and you'll find out that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads to life. That's the Greek word hodos, and it means a continuous path. And too many people, too many groups out there are saying, man, you say the 17-word prayer, that seals the deal. It's done. It's over. You know, no matter what happens, you're in the club. But you know what? That one way belies that, because Jesus said, I am the way. You have to get on the path, and then you have to keep going along the path, because if you jump off of the path, you're not getting to where the path goes.
Now, here's the thing, Larry. Watch this. I'll talk to some brothers and sisters in the Lord who they kind of use church as a conjugal visit for God. You know what I'm saying? I'll visit them on the weekend. You know, they're, you know, Christianity, you know, is always. You know, how are things going?
We're losing you, Dale. Breaking up.
Hey, Dale.
They probably don't hear the truth.
We can't hear you, Dale. You're breaking up real bad.
Well, let me try to go to another room in my house. It's probably my wife. She's probably messing with my internet. My wife is always here. I'm gonna go into here and see is this any better?
Well, at least you're back.
Am I gone? Am I back?
You're back. Hopefully, Lord willing, you'll stay.
Yep, we can hear you.
Yeah, well, I ain't got much you want to hear anyway. No. So now I've lost my thought. You know, I got the memory of a fish at times, about 6 seconds. And if my wife was with me, she'd tell me probably what I was talking about. But I'm sure it is of importance or moving on. So what I do know is that I'll go back and saying this. The only way that we're going to make America great again, America good, America is only going to be good by being right with God. And what I was saying was that Christian who says, oh, I'm just kind of coasting along, you know, nothing, you know, no resistance, and, you know, just kind of coasting along. I'll tell you this. If you're in a wagon with no engine, the only way you coast is when you're going downhill. Somebody who's not striving, Paul talked about that even in Galatians. He says, oh, you foolish, is betwixt you. This which you have begun in the spirit, you're now trying to perfect it in your flesh. It's a sad situation. Many start the race, but they don't want to finish the race. Brother, we got to finish this race. Blessed is he, endure to the end, for he shall receive the crown of salvation. So I encourage you in that. So is Mark or is there anybody else? I want to give about at least 10 more minutes. I really do have a word. I believe it's something that probably many of you have not might seen in the scripture, because I didn't want to just share. I look around and I've listened to people talk and got some smart heads in here, and you know, I can sit here and preach on repentance and y'all amen, you know. Listen, a good sermon, that just brings praise to the pastor, but good preaching brings praise to God, and you know, that's what I want to stir y'all's hearts up. I want to make sure that when I'm done here that you're encouraged. I don't think that I need to reprove and rebuke anybody this morning. So if not, then I want to encourage people this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Dale, what is the key? Is it Abraham believed God, you know, and his faith, you know, was counted for righteousness. And it also said faith. That he stumbled not in faith. Is that part of the key?
Well, here's the thing. Look at the word faith in Greek and look at the word believe in Greek, and you'll find out one is pistos and one is pisto. They're identical, though, in their definition. Fiction in a holy God, a profession in his holiness, and a continual walk in it. Does that sound like Abraham to you?
Yes.
It does to me. See, many profess that they have faith. And in faith without works, what is the work? The work is this, a continual profession for the moral conviction and a continual walk in that profession. See, words mean, like Coach always says, words mean something. And so when you get to the definition, Abraham has conviction in a holy God. Abraham professed in his holiness, and Abraham continued and fainted not in his walk with God.
Now, you know, Abraham and the whole wall of faith list there, their faith was demonstrated to God by their actions. Not a one of them sat around and did nothing and waited for kismet or karma to accomplish everything. Every one of them took action based on their belief. The action part of faith is what impressed God.
Absolutely, brother. You know, and when you look at that, Hebrews chapter 12, oh, such a great cloud of witnesses that encompass us. I always look at this as kind of like a football game. You know, in football, as Coach would say, the fans are the 12th man on the field. On the field. They're never stands cheering, you know, their team on. Hebrews 12 talks about such a great cloud of witnesses that spurn us on, you know, to do these things. I'm sorry, I'm opening up my Bible program because I left my other Bible in the kitchen where I was losing reception. But I want to share on that Hebrews chapter 11 real quick, so I'm going there. But at the same time, the 12th man on the field, he never enters the field. What Larry was just saying is that we're waiting for God and all of his angels to go and do all these things, and then we'll enter it. I want to tell you something. No. They're encouraging you. Yes.
Yeah, this reminds me of Jonah when he was running from God's word to go preach at Nineveh. Hard as he ran, and why was it? I learned this weekend that Nineveh was so evil that around the city they had human heads on stakes.
Listen.
So at the time, Nineveh may have been led by the dark forces and the hybrids and the Nephilim descendants. And God set Jonah into Nineveh knowing, and that's why he was so opposed to it. He knew that they wouldn't listen. He knew that he couldn't do it, but he couldn't. God could.
Well, God. Now, Mark, yeah. I'm not gonna give you the answer to this. I want you to go search, because understand. I picture yourself in Jonah, and going there. God, why are you sending me to these the Ninevites? They're your enemy. They hate you.
Right.
They're enemies of God's people. Go back and do see. God's ways are not our ways.
Right.
What did God use Nineveh for after that nation repented? There's a study for you. There is a study.
Thank you for that.
When you, the things that make you go, I never thought of it that way. So going back to Larry's point, talking about Hebrews and all the names and all the great faiths and everything that was going on there. Now, here's ones that we never want to talk about. By faith, all of these great men of God, as we read all the way through verse 30 of Hebrews, oh my goodness, these were just movie-making warriors. We got Hollyweird can make some great movies out of this, but when you get down, and I'm getting here to read in Hebrews, Jared, matter of fact, if you'll pull that up, 11 verse 36, if someone would grab verse 36, read.
And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sewn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they would, us, should not be made perfect.
Okay, so here these ones are. Now, the one sawn in two, I just want to let you know, did you know that in those upper verses, you saw nothing of Isaiah? How many of y'all believe Isaiah was a mighty man of God? But he's in Hebrews. He was the one who was sawn in half. And so when you read this, what he was saying, but others, they didn't receive the promise. They were scourged. They were in chains. They were in prison. They were stoned. Now watch what the word says about them, whom the world was not worthy of. Wow. Wow. And then it goes on to say in verse 40, because God had provided something better. I want to tell you something. People will get on that trip. If something bad is happening, it has to be something wrong. I'm not walking right with God, blah, 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 blah. Pick your poison. Sometimes the answer is God has something better provided for you. Do you not know these fiery ordeals that spring up amongst you? They are for the testing and proving of your faith. God's got more faith in you than you've got in yourself. That's why he allows these tests, just like he did with Job. Have you considered my servant Job? Listen, you all want to be approved. We all want to be approved by God. Yeah, I want to be known in heaven. Hallelujah. I want to be known of God. Do you want God going around saying, hey, have you considered my servant? Have you considered my servant Larry? Have you considered my servant Sergey? Have you considered my servant Jared? Y'all say, oh, yeah, man, he mentioned me. Yeah, look what came about of that. Now, of course, we read in the end how that turned out well for Job, but I'm just telling you, so, you know, it's not always rosy. Amen? It's not always rosy.
Amen.
Amen. Is everybody with me? Y'all? Listen, I want you to understand, this is how I roll. Preach something, and then they will read something in it, and I do allow interaction in my church. So y'all cannot be sitting here quiet, because I know I myself and the rest of you, when Coach is on here, y'all chime in. So chime in. Cut me off. I'm God is no respecter of persons. I'm just a worm, and eventually will be food for worms. So please jump in. Nobody? All right. Are you all ready to read some scripture? I'm going to need some people to read some scripture because I could read it. I don't know if Silver. Silver, are you in here? I see you're in here. Is your mic unmuted? Can you read some scripture? Are you around on your microphone? Are you like, you see, many of you might, I mean, some of you have seen me. Some of you have never seen me because I'm kind of like what Silver is right now. And my video off, but I'm listening. I always listen to it. My wife is here. If I was lying, she would tell you. But see, I'm in Central Time Zone. I'm not on the Eastern Coast Time Zone. So when the show starts at 7 o'clock Eastern, it's at 6 o'clock Eastern here. So I'm normally in my pajamas with a cup of coffee. Go on. You know, so some of you are like, oh, is that what he looks like? Yeah, this is me. I get cleaned up. I had to actually put on a T-shirt, get shaved, and get out of my chair and partake this morning. So some of y'all, now you can identify and connect the face with the voice.
I am here.
Some of you all do the same thing because I see your videos are always off. So maybe some of you all live in the Central Time Zone. So once again, the dentist, he encourages you out of your mouth. health. Amen. I pray that I can encourage you this morning, Father, in Jesus' name, as I begin to split what I believe you would lay to my heart to share about some of these scriptures, that our hearts would be enlightened to it, that will encourage us on and spurn us on, not only unto good works, but the upward calling, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Jared, if you could put Revelation chapter 20 on the screen, somebody could read Revelation 20, verse 11.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Silver left the meeting. What did he do? Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Well, I got like five scriptures. Yeah, there he is. He's back. All right, here we go. You there, Serge? Silver?
Yes, I'm here. Is that any better?
All right, buddy. Revelations 20, 11 through 15.
Okay. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
All right. So I think probably all of us in this cube, this scripture, and we understand this, and we talk about the book of life and that our names are written in the book of life. But sometimes, you know, I kind of say it this way. Many of Christians, it's kind of like going to the beach. I have been down snorkeling many times. I've been down in Roatan snorkeling. I lived out in California, so I've, you know, did the body surfing and the boogie boarding and stuff. Most people you find at the beach are playing on top of the water. Find out where the life is, you better put a snorkel on and go down under the water, and you will see life that you have never seen before. And so many a times, nothing against any of us, but I've read this too, and we looked at this, and we kind of, I believe that most people just surf the scripture. We just kind of surf, but Paul tells us to study. You got to dig deep. You got to go deeper. And so as I was read this one time, and I have shared this, many people who I've never heard too many come back and say, oh, yeah, I've heard that before. It talks about two things here. Well, it talks about a book, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. But there was something else that stuck out to me. Verse 2, it says, a book was opened, which is the Book of Life, and were judged according to things which were written in the books, which is plural. And man, when I read that, I said, wait, how can we have this discrepancy of book of life and books? What are these books that John is talking about? And it was something that caused me to have to study this. And when it dropped in my spirit, you might agree with it, you might disagree with it, but I believe it'll encourage you in the end. That it's like, wow, I never saw this way. So I look at these books and I'm like, God, what are these books? Well, the scripture says right there that the dead and the life, they were to, well, is he judging books off a shelf and throwing some in the lake of fire? Who is he? What is he throwing in the lake of fire? People. Thousand people. And I went, oh my goodness, I'm a book. You're a book. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Larry, can I get you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3?
Hey, Dale?
Yes.
I got to say, you just gave me revelation. I had a dream about 3 months ago because I had a prayer as to, you know, about the Holy Spirit and about Jesus and him being in my life. And he literally said just that. Books, volumes and volumes, Jared. That's what he said.
Amen, brother. Listen, brother, when it hit me, it about knocked me out of a chair. There's many a time out in an revelation of something that it literally just out of my head. It just literally humbles me to a point where I almost can't breathe.
Wow, you know you.
And I realize, God, I don't know you. So
my hands are shaking. It's so powerful, brother. Amen.
Is Larry here? Larry, can you read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3? Because the reason why I say this, Gary, is because the truth, it has to be line upon line. You can't pretext. You can't take text out of text because you get a pretext. So when you build truth, it has to be built around the truth. So we can't just take that and say that's the truth. We got to solidify the truth with truth. So read that, if you would, Larry. 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. This is Paul addressing Corinth.
Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart.
Wow! Look, do you see that? Yep. The hair on my arms are raised right now. And I know this. This thing blows me up when I read this. In the translation, I use the NASB, and it says this. Verse 3 says, be manifested that you are a letter of Christ. You're a letter of Christ. You're one of those books. Wow. Wow. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? Y'all didn't just jump ship yet. Yeah. Said, man, he's pretty. What's that?
We are with you.
You are here. We're living. All right. So, let Gary.
Yep.
Want to read? Now we all remember Joe. I'm sorry.
You were cut off.
Oh, okay. Well, I got to move to another spot then, I guess, huh? See, devil, he uses distraction. He tries to distract us. And is this any better? Okay, brother, look, there's my router. I am literally, I'm almost sitting on top of my, okay. And of course, I don't have the high Wi-Fi kind of stuff. I try to save some money. But I need somebody to read Job. If I can get Gary to read Job 19, verse 23 through 26.
You got it. Sorry. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and led in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Whom I shall...
Wow.
Wow. Should I continue?
No, that's it. That's it, brother. We're building on this truth about these books, that we are these books, and we need to understand that that scripture of Job is just, and I look at that and to understand when this was written. Now, Job is actually the oldest book in the Bible. Wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books, but Job was actually before him. And so Job, if I could talk to Job today, according to the scripture, Job, what was Job's plea? Job's plea was this. Oh, words were written. Okay. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. I look at that and go, hey, Job, guess what? They are. Bible. They were inscribed forever. Because he gave glory to God. Isn't that incredible? Could you imagine Job wasn't the New Testament church? He was just a man who God says, have you considered my servant Job? And Job had his testing. Job had his trial. I mean, like no other. And yet Job, here he is one day. He wasn't like inscribed and say, yes, one day these written in the Bible. But his spirit was so crushed. His spirit was so humble that he was saying with the exclamation points, oh, that my words were written and that they were inscribed in a book. Guess what, Job? They were. And not only was Job one of those books that we read about in the book of Revelation, Job got in the book. He got in the And listen to what I yes
is the goal then to be written in the book and then not to be blotted out? Is that the goal, is to live our life in a way so as we're not blotted out in the end?
Now, Mark, you are a smart, intelligent man. Don't jump ahead. Don't get the cart before the horse, man. Let the horse pull this bad boy. Now, but I want to go back and watch this. Watch what. Even not only words, but between the pluralism, okay? Book, books, right? Book, books. What books or book did Job want to be recognized in? Did he want to be recognized as one of the books? 23 at the end. Oh, his words that they were inscribed in a book. Isn't that incredible? Where do you find Job's words? As one of the books? Or in the book? Isn't that, I mean, oh, how I love God's word, Psalms 119. Oh, how I love his law, how I meditate on it day and night. I mean, I just love it. So Job was making a point. He wasn't just going to be a book. He wanted to be in the book. Amen? Just what it is.
Amen.
Anybody want to jump in on that real quick? Larry's studying. I see him, man. Okay. Y'all ready? All right. I need somebody. Jared, how about you, Jared? Can you read Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3, verse 1 through 3?
Sure. Hebrews 12. All right. One second. Hebrews 12. All right. And let me know if my thing's broken up. All right. Wherefore, so Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him.
Stop right there, Jared.
Yep.
Jared, go back and read that again. That sentence that you just read. Lay aside.
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Come on.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Want me to keep going?
Who's the author, Jared?
Jesus.
What do authors do, Jared?
They write books.
Okay, go ahead.
Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.
Okay. So, I believe it was last week we were talking about in Isaiah where Satan fell from heaven. His proclamation of what he wanted to do. What is it that he wanted to do? I want to be like what? God. So, in the sinful nature of man, you know, we make ourselves out to be God. And what is it that we want to do? We want to run. We want to govern. We want to do our own life. And you know what? For many of us, we are. We're writing our own chapters, right? We're doing our own thing. But we need to understand, Corinthians says, every word and every action shall be accountable. You know why it's accountable? It's because it's being written down. The things that you remember and the things you don't remember are being recorded in heaven, in a book, which is your book. Now, I want to take this as an encouragement for all of us, and maybe even some of us who might be going through something. Sometimes, yes.
When you said that, I felt like I should say this. When I was 15, I put my fist through a window, and I died. And when I died, I entered into the void. And it was completely black. I couldn't see in front of my face. My hands were touching my face, but I couldn't see them. And I called out to Jesus Christ, and I called out to God. And that's he saved me. And what you're saying is, like, it's mind-blowing because I just can't even continue. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Look, man. Let's let the Spirit of the Lord speak to our heart. I did not want to come in and get on an eschatology, theology, or an ecclesiology and try to debate my point.
No,
I believe that this is whether listen, for all of us, this is just the letter of encouragement for us. And I want to say this, Jerry, this Gary, this would go with you, and this would go with me, because I'm going to close with a little bit of my testimony. But I will say this, that book. You know, I do not read too many books. I do read the Bible. That's all the book I need. But I do know enough about books is that when you begin to read a book, you will find out that sometimes, you know, a book normally starts off, it's got to grab you. It's got to pull you into it. And so the author normally comes out with something good, something wonderful. But, you know, as that book is being written, most books have ups and downs in them. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Can I say one more thing? I was so overwhelmed with emotion I couldn't speak. But what I was saying is, when I was in that place, everything I experienced, every thought, every feeling, every detail, every stubbing my toe, everything was with me. That was my experience in life. It was the book that was written upon my heart with Jesus Christ writing it. I just had to say that. It goes on with the lesson.
Well, we're going to find... Let me say this now. Once again, a book has highs and lows. There's this point. You putting your fist through the window, that doesn't sound like a high in my life. Jesus. Every, you know, when we say, but Jesus, then God. You know, there's this high, there's this time that where Christ comes into a man's life and it changes him. So it doesn't negate what has happened in the past. It's not what God saved us from. It's what he saved us to. And so, in any book, any story, if all it was mundane, only good things ever happen, how boring of a book that is. How boring that story is. And I look and I see J.R. Richards, and he writes, and I know I've talked Uncle JR, you know, that there's times that things are good. There's times that things are bad. You know, there's times that things are challenging. Listen, we all go through them, Larry, and I'm sure there are times in his life, he's been on earth long enough to know there are times as a Christian. Golly, it has been peace on earth and it has been goodwill, you know, and wonderful. But then there are times that are just struggling and hardship and not sure if we're going to get through this. But you know what? Life, and then the page turns and things change. God is the author and he's the finisher of our faith. Now here, listen to what I'm about to say, because this is what happens with these people who are marching on D.C. You look at them. I mean, what Coach was talking about with them, the female and anatomy parts that are sticking out of their head, you look at that and go, that is like so morbid, just sick. The problem is when man wants to become like God, then man has taken the pen from God and they're writing their own book. And man is not a good author when it comes to writing a good book about themselves. And they begin, this is the stuff that we begin to see in their life.
Amen.
Without God, that's the result. And that's, could you imagine that they're going to give an account in heaven for that nonsense? For that? So they become like God. Their own author, right? Talking before the show. Free will and free choice. Well, let me tell you about your free will and free choice. It's being recorded, and your free choice, my free will, and my free choice, it is being recorded. Also talked about the heavens and the earth and the sea below, the dead gave up. I want to tell you something. You're not going to hide your book from God. God's going to bring that book out, no matter if it's in the depths of the sea or if it's in the heights of the mountain. I'm going to tell you, we're going to give an account. We're going to give an account for everything, every word spoken, every action done. Now, here's another one for us, right, Larry? Unfortunately, what a shameful thing. I don't know if you or pull a book off the shelf and open it, and there's nothing written on the pages. Nothing. Many Christians live their life like that. They love God, but they don't want God to write anything in their book. We know that he is a demanding master, so we want to hide our talent and bury them in the sand. Could you imagine? What kind of? Yes, sir.
One of the times in our life on this earth that we actually have that feeling that we're going to get a hundredfold, two lights turn on behind us. We immediately evaluate who we are, what we're doing. We immediately have that feeling in the pit of our stomach. And we know that he has the data to pull us over. And we have that feeling. What is that feeling? It's us reproaching ourselves. It's us looking at our own actions, evaluating them against a judgment. It's like the only time in our normal life where we have that feeling where we're accountable to someone.
Yep.
And we have fallen so far from God that we don't know what it's like for Jesus to enter the temple and see true authority. You know, we're so far removed from that that people can't relate to a book that they're going to have to face. Fear really is. This is why we should fear God. And really, we're fearing all of those actions. We shouldn't have been speeding, Dale. We shouldn't have been speeding.
Yep. You know, I use the analogy, Mark. Yes, go ahead.
It's Jeff Klein. Hey, speaking of, you're talking about encouragement this morning. If you remember the last time that we were together there with Coach Dave and you, we were in Indianapolis, and you told us that story at the front desk as we was checking out of the hotel, the girl at the abortion clinic. I have been encouraged with that ever since you told that story. Could you share that this morning real quick?
I'm trying to figure out what story was that. There's many times with the abortion clinic and women. We're talking about the employee?
17 years later.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Yes, brother. Hallelujah. Everything's a ministry, guys. I was telling somebody yesterday at church, I said, understand something. First off, let me go back and say this. Many of you, oh, he's a pastor. Listen, I was a scum, loser, drug infested. You know, I wasn't one of these people who got the PhDs on the wall. Matter of fact, I had more LSD on my wall. I was death eggs overdosed several times waiting to happen. December 5th, 1989 at 9:05 at night. Now it didn't hit me like a 21 gun salute. Brother, I repented between I and a man sitting looking over at a microwave. And at that very moment, my life changed. I went from smoking crack cocaine and throwing acid in my eyes, and I'm talking, you don't just get there, brother, to never touching that stuff again and not having a withdrawal. My brain should have been fried. That's Amen. My testimony. That's my testimony. It's not what God brought me from, though. It's where he's brought me to. So I just want you to know that I did not grow up in a Christian, godly, royal home. I was a worm in the world. I was a worm in the world is what I was. But God is ever since, and he told me that first night. I remember he says, and you will preach this gospel. I didn't know what the gospel was, and I could barely read. So this girl, real quick, I was working. God put me in this position that I ended up losing half of the income I was going to make. I was working, but I believe wherever I worked, it was a ministry. And so I'm ministering, and the people in my work knew that I just would go to the abortion clinic. I would go there all the time. They knew where I stood, but they would treat me like a dad. They would come into my office. They would talk to me about their personal problems, blah, 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 blah. So one day I was asked to go out to the abortion clinic on a day that I normally don't go. And Bill Shanks said, I need you to go out. I said, I can't make it. I'm working. He said, look, I got a new pastor coming out. Can you please come out there? I said, okay. So I went out there. Who worked for me? Tough girl. Beautiful girl, but tough. Was walking in the clinic. And I looked at her and I said, I'm not going to use a name. I said, why are you going into that clinic, you know? Well, she comes back out and she talks to me, and I knew her. She was one of them girls that come into my office and tell me about her family problem because her dad wasn't in her life. And she told me it was her sister in the abortion clinic. And I said, oh, well, I knew her sister. I said, man, look, give her this information. And I just ministered to her. Couldn't tell you what I said. All I know. So she goes in the clinic. This past year, this girl finds me on Facebook and sends me this long, lengthy letter and tells me I was that girl that was going inside that abortion clinic. It was I. And she goes, Dale, God sent you that day. You didn't rail me under. You spoke love to me. And she sends me this picture of her 18-year-old son in his graduation tuxedo. She said it's one of my greatest accomplishments in my life, and I wanted to thank you for it.
Amen.
Wow. It blew me out of the water. People, I want to tell you something. You don't know the influence and the things that you're speaking, but the chapters in our lives, the things that can be spoken in other people's lives to encourage one another on, to spurn one another on to good works. I want to tell you something. You're not a nothing. That's what I want to tell you guys. You're not a nothing. Older, you might be on the backside of life, and you might. I think I've ran my race, and I want to tell you something. If you got breath in your nostrils and you got blood in your vein, then God is still writing your book.
Amen.
He still has purpose for you. Amen. He desires to use you. He's got chapters to write. He wants to use you. Don't you ever think I'm too old, God. My time has passed. Are you kidding me? Larry, you came to my church. You saw those beautiful banners in my church. Incredible banners. They were made by a 90-year-old lady. I want to tell you, we've still, as long as we're alive, and you're not too young, old, God is the author. God is writing your book. Don't take the pen out of God's hand. You'll mess up the ink. Let him continue. You just say, yes, Lord. Continue in faith. Continue in your walk. Allow God. And I want to tell you something. God knows how to write a book. And boy, you want to talk about excitement You want to talk about happy times, bad times? I'm going to tell you something. God desires to write your book, Job's, just like he wrote Paul's, just like he wrote Peter's, just like he's writing Larry's, just like he's writing Jerry's, just like he's writing Mark, just like he's writing coaches, just like he's writing mine, guys. Let's keep pressing on to the high calling in Christ. Let God be God. Let God be God. We love you guys. God bless you all.